from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think we're going to start out with a little sad news. Alvin Attles, longtime Warrior, passes last night, 87 years old, Mr. Warrior. And he was a titan in the Bay Area. That's the word that comes to mind when I think of Al Attles. Been with the Warriors for over 60 years. There's no NBA employee that's ever been with a team as long as Al Attles was with the Golden State Warriors and the Philadelphia Warriors. He was drafted in 1960, and he stayed with the organization all the way up until last night when he passed in his home in the East Bay with friends and family around. Of course, he won a title in 75 as the coach of the Golden State Warriors. He's a Hall of Famer. He was on the court when Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points as his teammate. He was a player coach. He was a general manager. He did it all. But more than anything, he was a class act. I was lucky enough to get to know him a little bit when I was covering the Warriors starting in 1995. And he's on my Mount Rushmore of great gentleman. He's an unbelievable guy, filled with humility, class, and knowledge. And we're going to miss him. We're going to miss him. If anybody was ever affiliated with the Warriors, they knew Al Attles. He was the Warriors. So RIP Al Attles. We're going to try to get some former players of his, people that knew him, to talk about him. I don't know how much time we'll talk about him, but he deserves, man, more than a mention, that's for sure. I mean, he was synonymous with the Golden State Warriors. Alvin Attles passes at 87. Yeah, that's all I got, Evan.
Well, it makes me even more appreciative that we got to talk to his son yesterday before he passed. You know, I can only assume late last night, early this morning, the Warriors putting out a statement about it and just getting to learn a little more about him. And I can't wait for the documentary that his son is putting together about him that is going to come out. And like it follows a list of legends that we've lost yeah. This year, unfortunately. You know, not just Al Attles, but Jerry West, you know, Willie Mays, to some extent, not a Bay Area legend, but Bill Walden, a legend in the NBA. You know, a lot of people have passed. And at least for me, look, I'm not going to sit here in front. I didn't have a chance to meet Al Attles and obviously wasn't old enough to watch him or learn much about him with the Warriors. But from talking to yourself, talking to Bonte, talking to people that did know him, you know, it just sucks. A lot of times I feel like it takes someone passing away for us to all fully understand his impact. And that's also a testament to him. But, you know, I look forward to speaking with some people throughout the show if we get an opportunity, people sharing their stories about Al Attles. He also seemed like a local legend in addition to just a Warriors one. And those are the kind of people that you miss when they're gone, the ones that affect you in kind of just unexpected ways, you know. And to hear the stories from his son yesterday was just really powerful and special.
Yeah, so I started covering the Warriors in about 1995, and they weren't very good. And they weren't very good for a while. And they had a lot going on back then. They had an owner, Chris Cohan, who wasn't very well liked. They didn't have a lot of success. But Al Attles was always a beacon for the franchise. He used to sit up at the old practice facility. He watched every practice, and he would be up there, and you could just sit with him and chat with him about basketball. He was always more than welcome. Daryl the Guru Johnson is not here. Interestingly, ironically, he's taken his daughter. I don't know if this is a coincidence or not, or if it's ironic, but Daryl the Guru Johnson, my partner, is taking his daughter this week back to North Carolina A&T in Greensboro, North Carolina, and that's where Alvin Attles went to college. And Guru talks all the time about how he would go to Warrior games, you know, 8-10 years ago, and would sit next to Al Attles. And Guru says he didn't know me from a hole in the ground, but the bottom line is that Al always took the time to talk basketball with anybody. And I mean, he was just a fixture. He was just a fixture. And you can't think of the Golden State Warriors without thinking about Alvin Attles and his family. Wish him the best. And, you know, we'll try to move on, and we will.
Yeah, but I also think, look, a lot of those experiences are ones that other people have had as well. You know, whether they're willing to call in and share them or just kind of reminisce on them. You know, I never got to sit next to Al Attles at a basketball game, but I remember as a kid I got to sit next to Vita Blue and Blue Moon Odom, and I didn't really know who they were. You know, I was 7-8 years old at an Oakland Athletics game, and they are living legends to that franchise, and they just talked ball with me as a kid. You know, there's people that when they pass, it all just comes rushing back. You know, I had a neighbor recently pass away who I grew up with, and he was in his early 90s. And I just remembered that he told my brother this story, and he kept it kind of to himself, but you know, he's from Japan, and he survived the atom bomb. You know, and that's an experience that he did not talk about very often because, understandably, he was not very happy. But it was powerful, and all of these things have just come flooding back into my mind about people that have since passed, and I feel like a lot of people probably feel that way about Al Attles, thinking about how he touched them maybe, you know, and spoke to them the way that he was able to speak to Guru and just give them a little piece of themselves, because people like that don't have to do that. And I think we forget about that a lot, especially nowadays with how much, I don't know, privacy people hold dear, and you know, they kind of express themselves on social media, but they don't express themselves in person. And someone like Al Attles is from a generation in which human experience, that is the most valued piece of communication, and they just don't make him like that anymore.
Yeah, so we had Alvin Attles Jr. on yesterday. Of course, he's putting together a documentary about his father called The Destroyer, and I mean, the timing obviously now becomes very bittersweet, but yesterday we had Alvin Attles' son on, and we were talking about his dad, and he was talking about what kind of coach and what kind of man Alvin Attles was. This is what his son said yesterday. How would you describe your father's style as a coach? back in the mid-70s. What was he like?
So my father was the ultimate player's coach, meaning he was a guy that he would, and I know because I'm his son, and he had some fire and brimstone to him, you know, meaning like he was not afraid to get up under guys, challenge them loudly, you know, but what he did was he always talked to them in a way so that all the players understood what he was asking from them and what he challenged them for. And so my dad was, I would say a combination between and he wasn't a yeller, but he was very commanding. So he's a combination between a commanding coach, but very, very understanding because he had also played the game. And if you remember this, because they no longer do this, he was a player coach.
Yeah.
So he had both of those facets of, you know, of technique in his delivery as a coach. He understood what it was to be a player, understood what it was to be a coach. And so I think he was just very well balanced as a coach.
All right, so that was Alvin Attles Jr. yesterday talking about his father. And the one thing I was thinking about is the one thing I haven't talked about with Alvin Attles, and you can't talk about Alvin Attles without saying this word, voice. He had an unbelievable voice that was just incredibly commanding. It was Lou Rawls-like, and he was the type of guy that every time you heard him talk, you just wanted to listen because he had so many stories, he had so much knowledge. And, you know, here's the other thing about Al Attles. He lived in the East Bay for decades and decades and decades. He was a fixture here in the community, in the Bay Area, and he was one of these people that touched a lot of lives, not just people that he worked with or Warrior players or coaches. I mean, he was out in the community. He was Oakland, Al Attles was. And, you know, I'm sure there are people out there at 888-957-9570 who've come across Al over the years. And if you want to share a story, now would be the time to do it. But, yeah, we lost a great one, a pioneer.
Can I ask if you felt like you were listening to Al Sr., listening to Al Jr. at all?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. I mean, Alvin Attles was the type of guy who, okay, so when I was covering the Warriors in 95 to 2005, and I was there every single day, he was, you know, and you're a reporter, so you want to find out, you want to get information. And one of the things that I always will remember about Alvin Attles is that he told you everything, but he gave you nothing, if you know what I mean. And the one story in particular that I have is, you know, taking you back to 1997 when Latrell Sprewell was a member of the Golden State Warriors, and he assaulted at practice PJ Carlissimo twice, and it was the biggest story in the NBA by far that year. It was a national story, and everybody was looking to get information about what happened in the gym that day. There were 12 players there. There was a coaching staff there, a training staff, and as any reporter would, you know, I'm trying to sniff around and talk to people about what happened. And about a day or two later, after the incident, I found out, which I should have known, the practice was closed to the media when it happened. But like he always was, Al Attles was at that practice, and he saw it all. And so a couple days after, I went up to Alvin, and I said, so you were in the gym when that happened. And he kind of gave me this smile, and he said, yeah, I was. And there was this long silence, and he just knew that I was going to ask him what happened. But I knew if I asked him what happened, there was no way he was going to tell me what happened. And so I said something like, man, it must have been unbelievable. And he just smiled, and And he didn't say a word about it. And it was just his way of saying, you know, that's, I'll tell you all the stories you want to hear, and I'll tell you about the history of the game, but there are some things that have to remain in the gym and in the locker room. And so don't even ask me, because you know that I'm not going to tell you. And he never did. And I, it's funny because I never, ever asked him about that day. It, at any time when I bumped into him over the years. So, you know, that when I think of class, I think of Alvin Attles, plain and simple.
Well, there's a mutual respect there, at least from what I can glean from the story, because you knew you didn't have to ask him. And in fact, it, not that it would have, I don't know, impacted your relationship at all, but you just knew that there's a code.
Yep.
Among players, among coaches, that something like that. And it eventually came out and people found out, and I know you wrote the story on it, so it's not like you weren't able to find it elsewhere, but he knew that it wasn't going to be from him, and he didn't want anybody else to know that it was from him.
Yeah, and the one thing I would stress more than anything is, you know, you just said, boy, well, he clearly had respect for you. He had respect for everybody. Everybody. He treated everybody the right way. I mean, we just said, we just crossed with Bonte to jump into the show, and he was leaving. And he affected Bonte the same way. He affected Guru the same way. He affected Chris Mullen the same way. He affected Tim Hardaway the same way. He was just the man. He was just the absolute man, Alvin Attles was. And he saw a lot of bad in this organization before Steph Curry got here. And this is kind of the other thing that always sticks out with me about Alvin Attles is when the Warriors were lousy for a 12-year stretch, he was there. And he was there for this dynasty. And he was the same person. He was the same person. He was a pillar of class when the team was on the periphery of the NBA, and he was a pillar of class when the team was on top of the NBA. And he truly saw it all. And there's nobody that I've ever met in my entire life who doesn't think the world of Al Attles. He was that special of a person. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, somebody on this, on the text line, on the YouTube text line is saying, is bringing up Nate Thurmond, the former Warrior who also worked in the organization. And I'm kind of glad you brought him up too. Al Attles and Nate Thurmond were two of the...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They were gentlemen. They were just flat out gentlemen. They were men. And they respected people, and they talked to people the right way, and they made you feel good when you talked to them. And that's what I'll always remember about both those guys. But because Al has passed last night, it's just really on my mind. So, if you want to share some Al Addle stories, I mean the one that we talked about yesterday was, and I asked about this player, was Game 4 in 1975 when the Warriors were sweeping the Washington Bullets at the time. Washington sent in a player, Mike Reardon. That was the player I couldn't think of yesterday. And he was playing for one reason, and that was to try to bait Rick Barry, who was the Warriors' best player. And he did. And Barry squared up with him, and Reardon squared up. And before anybody could really get into it, here came Alvin Addles off the bench. And he wanted a piece of Mike Reardon because he knew what Mike Reardon was trying to do. And he ended up getting thrown out. Warriors ended up winning the game, and then they ended up, obviously, as the world champions in 75 after a 4-0 sweep. But he was tough. He was fair, and he was classy. That's the word that I'll always associate with Al Addles, which is class.
Well, so, and also it sounds like at a time where he didn't need to be. I mean, there's a lot of people throughout the history of the Warriors that up until recently, I feel like are associated with a bad season or a bad moment or, I don't know, maybe they're the butt of someone else's 50-point performance. You know, there are moments that stand out pre-Curry, but not a lot of them were good. And I just think it makes it all the more powerful that someone like he, Nate Thurman, other people that I've had the chance to read about, like, even if you're someone my age, you still know who these people are. Right. I've never had a chance to meet any of them, but because of the place of the Warriors franchise before really, 10 years ago, there wasn't a whole lot of greatness, I think, that you associated with them, and he was one of the few. And to also just still be around through the high times in the 70s, through the lean times afterwards, and impact people like Chris Mullin, who I'm sure is going through it. He was in the Warriors PR statement. Impact people, obviously, like Rick Barry, who said some kind words. And I can only imagine how much he impacted those players for a franchise that was not associated with what it is now. I mean, people expect championships. People expect class. People expect all the things that he embodied at a time in which it was not the norm.
Yeah. Special guy, and he deserves his respect. He deserves people to know about him. That's what he deserves. And I'm proud to welcome in right now one of the greatest players in Warriors history, Chris Mullin, who obviously knew Al Addles extremely well. Knew Al when he got drafted by the Warriors in '85. Hey, Chris, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it, man.
Matt, my pleasure to be with you. Sad circumstances, but nonetheless, a time to reflect and, as you said, not only respect Al Addles, just the tremendous impact he's had on so many lives. Just one of the nicest human beings I've ever met in my life. You mentioned he was the GM when I was drafted there. Just humble, graceful, tremendous leader. And did it with a smile. Did it with class and dignity. Played every single role in that Warrior organization. Championship coach, incredible player, GM, And I said, every role that he played, he never changed one bit. He's always just the classiest person in the world. And like I said, I think, you know, when you think about Al Attles, that's what I think. I think of grace, humility, professionalism, class. And he set the standard, really, yeah, to me and for me on how to conduct yourself, whether you win or lose, whether you're having a good day or a bad day. And, you know, to me, and we always talk about the great, great players in the NBA. To me, in the Warriors organization, Al Attles stands alone because of all the roles he played and the standard that he set while doing it.
Chris Mullin joining us on 95.7 The Game, talking about the late Alvin Attles. Mully, obviously, you're an East Coast guy, born in New York, and Al is from Newark. So you get drafted by the Golden State Warriors, and you got to go cross-country and play for them. What was Al's role to you, knowing that, you know, you were somebody who was a long way from home and were trying to make your way here in the Bay?
Yeah, just comforting, honest, truthful. And, you know, he played for Frank McGuire with the Philadelphia Warriors. And Frank was an old St. John's coach who was very close to Coach Carnesecca. So I remember Coach Carnesecca say, you're in good hands. He's one of us. Mm-hmm. And he loved Al Attles. Coach Carnesecca loved Al Attles. And he just had that reputation as just a stand-up guy. We'll do anything for you, make the transition easier. As you said, he came from the East Coast, much like I was attempting to do. He told my parents one thing, I'll take good care of your son. And that's exactly what he did, on and off the court. But Matt, to me, it was watching him every day, the way he conducted himself each and every day, coming to practice, sitting in the background, giving just nice, gentle, positive comments. Being at the College of Alameda, wherever we were practicing, he would just come and sit and just support in the background. And just like I said, when you watch someone do that each and every day consistently, no matter what's going on around them and what's going on around the team, you talk about transitioning from Philly to the Bay Area. Al Attles made that happen. And then he played every role, player, coach, championship coach, GM, and then every role he played, he did it with class. And like I said, to me, he set the standard of how to conduct yourself as a pro, as a teammate, as a mentor. There's none better than Al Attles. And then let me just say this too, and Nate Thurman. I always looked at them very similar personalities, incredible accomplishments, but they didn't feel a need to boast about themselves. They were trying to help the next generation. And that's just the unselfish nature of Al Attles.
Well, Mully, it's a pleasure to be talking with you, and I'm sorry for your loss. Do you remember the first time that you met Al Attles? And, you know, the characteristics that you're describing have been reiterated ad nauseum, you know, the last hour since we got the news, and just having a chance to kind of learn from someone like yourself, from Steiny, from Bonte, from people that have had the chance to meet him. Do you remember the first time that you met him, and what was that like?
Well, the first time I saw Al Attles was at the Cap Center. I think I was a sophomore or a junior, I can't remember. And we were playing Georgetown, and he was at the game. And then when he wound up drafting me, when I finally met with Al, I didn't work out for the Warriors. I had no communication with the Warriors. And when I went out to my press conference, I was like, I watch you against Georgetown. That's all I need to see. So, I mean, again, when you meet Al Attles, you don't feel like you're meeting a star because he doesn't conduct himself that way. But then when you look at his accomplishments, like I mentioned, every role that he played, to me the amazing thing was the way he did it. You know, a lot of people score points. A lot of people win championships, but the way he did it on a daily basis, to me, was extraordinary because he did it with kindness and class and grace, and he did it every single day.
Yeah. One of the things, Mully, that I'll, you know, that that always sticks out to me about Al is, you know, I was obviously covering the Warriors from 95 to 2007, and this team did not have a lot of success. In fact, they had very little to no success. And I've always felt that, you know, when you're in an atmosphere like that, unfortunately, it kind of brings out the worst in people rather than the best in people. But that was not the case when it came to Al Attles. You walked into that gym, the team could have been 20-50. It didn't matter. Al Attles was a beacon. Like, he just, you're right, he just never changed. And he always was optimistic and positive, even during some really, really tough times for the Warriors organization.
No question, Matt. And what I noticed, too, so during the tough times, right, Al Attles had already won a championship. You know, he coached some of the greatest players of all time. He played with Will Chamberlain. Mm. He never projected that upon. He coached Rick Barry. Rick Barry's a way better player than me. Al would always boost me up, give me confidence. Meanwhile, he saw someone way better than me, but he never projected that. He played with Wilt Chamberlain. You know, Wilt Chamberlain, Al combined for 117. Let's go. Let's call like it is. Al Attles in that game when Wilt scored 100, Al was 8-for-8 and 1-for-1 for 17 points. But he never projected that. He was in the moment trying to take care of that team, that practice session, and as you said, Matt, with positivity, with experience, never, ever comparing, never, ever trying to put anyone down, only be positive and look, because he saw what it takes. He knew what it took to be a champion, and it takes time, and it takes the right pieces. If you don't have them, you don't just give up. You give an honest day's work.
Yeah,
that's where Al Attles came from. That's, you know, I mentioned Coach Karnisek and Frank McGuire, these guys who coached Al and knew of Al back in the day when he was growing up in Newark.
Yeah.
You know, those guys, that generation, the things that they passed on to me, which would always stick out in my mind, is an honest day's hard work. You know, there's no replacement for that. You know, and we're talking about his humility, Al Attles. Don't wear a big hat, right? Don't toot your own horn. Let your opponent say how good you are. You don't have to boast about everything you do. And then, lastly, would be sharing. Share your experience. Share your knowledge. You know, share the tough times you had so they don't have to go through them. And that's exactly what Al did for every person he came in contact with.
Well, off of that, a theme that I've heard over the last day, because we also had a chance to speak to his son, Alvin Attles Jr., yesterday, and just listening to him, listening to you, a theme that I'm picking up on is also just availability, not just as a basketball coach or a GM or all the roles that he played for this organization, but also just as a man. And I have to imagine, you know, what was it like to have someone who could not just be someone that could help you on the court, but also through life? It seems like he was that as well.
No question. So the first thing I said was an honest day's work. Yeah. You know, Al Attles came to work every single day with the proper attitude. Like I said, non-judgmental, trying to make things better. So that was Al, and every single, that's why I said it was extraordinary, because it was consistently every single day, no matter what was going on. And that you don't see people like that. And by the way, we got up to such a quick start. My condolences, obviously, to Wilhelmina, Alvin Jr., and the entire Attles family. Wilhelmina was as important as Al Attles in my transition. Just a beautiful person. Had such a huge impact on so many people as well. So, like I said, it's a sad time, but it's also, I mean, just a tremendous life. Like I said, the life that he impacted is just, you know, as we could talk for days, and, you know, it's just amazing. And I have been in contact with Al Jr., so I knew Al was struggling. So it's a combination of obviously sadness, but also in my mind, it's a huge part of celebration too.
Yeah. Molly, before I let you go, cause I know you got things to do and a plane to jump on. You know, when you became the general manager of the Warriors, you know, you didn't have an extensive front office resume. Was he there for you at that time? I mean, did you lean on him when you became the GM?
No question. Just like I did when I was a player. Again, steady hand, if needed, advice, never trying to, you know, impose himself. Almost you wish he would more, maybe, because
right.
I was so humble. But if need be, he was there for me. And like I said, in every single stage of my life. You know, to me, like my parents, obviously my siblings, Coach Karnisecki and Al Addles, that's the impact that he's had on my life.
Molly, thank you so much for joining us, man. Really appreciate it. And I'll try to make this a celebration today because he deserves it.
All right, Matt, Evan, thanks.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chris Mullen, Hall of Famer, one of the greatest Warriors of all time.
Man.
Checking in. And good stuff from Molly. A lot of insight there on Al Addles.
I mean, there's not many people that have been blessed to have that kind of person in their corner of the stature of Al Addles. I mean, we all have people, we all have pillars that we depend on. We have all had role models and wonderful people, but I don't know. You can just hear it in his voice how important Al Addles was to Chris Mullen.
You know, one of the things when people pass, we all say good things about him, and most of them are true. But we do tend to build them up maybe a little bit in their passing. But trust me when I say that Al Addles was every bit of a great man that everybody says he is and he was. I mean, I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, there are very few people that I've come across in the NBA or in professional sports who were just... You know, Mully said he shared. That is what he did. He shared. He would tell you things you wanted to know about the game. He would tell you things you wanted to know about the way some things in the NBA worked. He didn't tell secrets. He never told secrets, but he always made an effort to inform someone of something that they may not understand or know. And that was me back in 1995 when I first started covering the NBA. I mean, I didn't know anything. And there was Al Addles just treating me like a regular guy. Never was disrespectful of the profession. Never was disrespectful of the job that we had to do. And he was always somebody to just leave a smile on your face. So really appreciate Chris Mullen calling in today. I know he was jumping on a plane, so we were lucky enough to grab him.
Yeah.
And
When you say that, it kind of has me thinking a bit. You know, it's learning about life through conversation in a game is something that is, I don't know, it's really hard to do. You know, a lot of people don't just talk about how, you know, here's how you should they'll teach you through something like basketball. You know, I never had a chance to speak to Al Addles, but a conversation that I always cherish because I love the game of baseball is when I got to talk to Alan Trammell. Mm-hmm. And he's obviously a Hall of Famer, Detroit Tigers legend, West Coast kid, actually. But he was just so unassuming and never drew attention to himself. He would kind of rove for the Tigers when I was working in their minor league system, and the way that he would speak to players was so simplistic, was straightforward, was supportive, and was without any gravitas that he naturally had. I mean, this guy played 20 years, 3,000 hits, Hall of Famer, all the rest, and he would talk to me the same way that he talked to the number one prospect on the team, or the way that he talked to the general manager of the club, or the way that he talked to the manager, or to the assistant coaches. And people don't have to do that. And I just think it's understated often how much impact those people can have because they are unassuming. They're living legends, and everyone knows it, except for seemingly them. And that's something that rubs off on you every single time you get a chance to have a conversation with those people, that they are important. They are legends, but they let you know that at the same time, they're human just like you. And that's a rare characteristic that not many people have.
Yeah, and I just remember, you know, being around the Warriors every day back then in 95, 2000. And the one thing that always struck me was that Al Addles was in that building. And sometimes I felt like back then, you know, the team wasn't doing very well, that some people in the organization didn't appreciate that they were among greatness. Mm. Because again, he wasn't one to self-profess his talent or his accolades or anything like that. I'll tell you what, let's go to Steve in San Mateo. Steve's got an Al Addle story he wants to jump into. Hey, Steve, what's going on, man?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I don't know if anybody, too many people have seen this, but 1970, first Warriors game I went to in the Coliseum, they were playing against Atlanta. And Nate Thurmond, center, Clyde Lee, power forward, Joe Ellis, small forward, Jeff Mullins, guard, and Addle was the point guard. And he got in a fight with a guy on the Atlanta side, and he put him on the floor. That's the first time I saw he was the destroyer, because that guy got beaten to a pulp. And so that was the story. And but the second one was just 1975, when they tried to pick a fight on the fourth game of the final against the Bullets, and Addle jumped in and tried to take on the player.
Yeah, I remember
so those
that.
Are the two.
Yeah, appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for sharing those. Yeah, I know. I mean, I guess the one, like, don't ever confuse Al Addle's kindness for weakness, though. Because he was known as the toughest guy in the NBA when he played. And he was, I mean, Al Addle's was one of those guys, he was a little like Charles Oakley in that he was the real deal and you just knew not to mess with him, because he's a tough guy, but he was a fair guy. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Hopefully, we'll hear from another few players who played for Al or who knew him well. But Alvin Addle's, he ends his life with the title of Warriors Ambassador, but he was so much more than that. And we'll talk a little bit more about it on the other.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.